And we're live.
Well, hello everybody. Welcome to Building Your Wellness Brand Within Your Community. I'm Dr. Alan Weinstein with my co-host Dr. Randy Ross. We have a great show for you. Today's show is brought to you by Epic Consulting, making sure your electronic presence is all it needs to be, and Community Wellness Day. Every great opportunity begins with the first step. Take that step with Community Wellness Day. And The System, the official marketing program of healthcare professionals everywhere. And the VIP app, the only application that allows you to bring your live hangouts just like this one to the iPhone, the Androids, and the desktop. Our apps are so good, people are going to want to lick them.
Well, everybody.
Hear that in the background. Somebody's came
Sorry
up there.
Sorry about that. That was mine.
Okay, no problem, guys. Well, today's show, we have with us Pastor Dan Stauffer. Sorry about that. We're so used to having doctors on the show. He might even be a doctor. Who knows?
I've always already been promoted. This is great.
You've already been promoted. There you go. Let me tell you a little bit about Pastor Dan. First of all, he's the co-founder and lead pastor of Life Church Jersey College. He coaches existing pastors through next level coaching. I can tell we're going to have a great show today. I just have a sense everything's going on here. He's a trainer for the Association of Related Churches, speaker, and mentors potential church planters through Reach Northeast. Now, there's a whole bunch of stuff that I know nothing about, so this is going to turn out to be a really good show. I'm going to turn it over to our co-host, Dr. Randy.
Well, welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. Let me tell you a little bit about our guest today, because as Dr. Allen said, it's maybe a little out of the norm for us. But I had the pleasure of meeting Pastor Dan and his lovely wife, Stephanie, at a Community Wellness Day event. And they were there at an event that was being held in their community. And they came out with a volunteer group, and they were just being so supportive and so engaged. And then through social media and conversations, I recognized that, you know, just as most of us that are watching are, you know, business people, health professionals, and how we always talk about evolving and doing things differently than we did in years past or decades past, and how important it is to constantly be building relationships to grow your business, that Pastor Dan and Stephanie, for their church in Randolph, New Jersey, really follow a similar model. And this is something that's of great interest to me, because we actually have taken a lot of what we do with the health providers that we work with, and we've tweaked it into something that works for any kind of religious institution, recognizing that times have changed for everyone, not just business people, and not necessarily that the message of whatever the religion is trying to share has changed, but because we've changed as communities, the delivery system often needs to be different. But the one thing that always stays the same, and this is what we're always reinforcing, is you need to be building relationships in your community, which sometimes takes a little bit of time. You need to invest in that, because when people get to know you and they trust you, they want to hear your message, whether that's the message of God, as Pastor Dan shares, or a message of whatever your service is. So I thought it was really important to invite Pastor Dan to come on and show this other dynamic, but how really, you know, in our communities we're all trying to do the same thing. So let me welcome Pastor Dan. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Oh, it's great being here, and I appreciate the opportunity just to talk about these great things, because I love how you say it, because we've been saying it the same way for a while. It's not the message, it's the packaging or the delivery system, it's the way it's being communicated. And so thank you for allowing us to be on today. This is great.
Oh, I'm really excited to have you here. So I'm gonna ask you a few questions, but you know, feel free to deviate if you think that there's something you know, that we're not kind of pulling out of how you do things. But talk a little bit about, and we've already laid the foundation for this, of, you know, when we're talking about locally based businesses, and this is also true for people in the virtual world, whether it's a business, a religious institution like yours and others in your community, why building these relationships in your community impacts the growth, whether it's the growth of your congregation or the growth of someone that's a business owner that's listening?
Well, I think it impacts the growth simply because it's everything is relational. Whether you feel like you're a personable individual or not, or a relational individual, when you're a business owner or you're leading an organization or you're leading a church, a nonprofit, whatever that might be, it's all about people. Even if you're trying to deliver a product or you're selling something, hopefully that product is there to benefit somebody. It's going to add value to somebody's life. So at the heart of everything that we're doing, it is people. And that's who you're trying to impact. That's whose life you're trying to enhance. And so on the aspect of what we're doing is about people, and I think that's why it's important to be in the community. You're connecting together with individuals, and we have to figure out how to do that more effectively. And I think for church, that's why I'm on here, as a leader of a church. I think for churches for a long time, it's been, hey, we're here, we're going to put a sign out and people will just show up. And it just doesn't work that way. I think that's kind of the, come and see. I don't know if arrogance is the right word, because I don't think that's necessarily at the heart of it, but it comes across that way, that somehow we're so good that we don't have to add value to people. They're just going to kind of want to come and get what we have. And what we found is that if we're going to have the impact that we desire to have, we're going to have to figure out how to connect with the people in our community, how to find out really what their needs are, and not be in the community for what we can get from the community, but what we can give to the community, what we can add, how we can add value. That's why we're here. And that's kind of the core of our mission and our vision, is to really to add value to the sphere of influence that we're in.
Dr. Allen, I see you unmuted, so I know that means that you want to share.
I wanted to ask a question, because I think that Pastor Dan brought up a great point. And one of the challenges, I think, even dealing with health professionals, and I'm sure with the coaching that you do, is, doctors will say, but I don't like to market, I don't like to sell. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, to build their practice, they have to make their presence known in the community, like you said. Do you run into that same thing when you're dealing with other churches, where they're dealing with, but I'm in, I'm not really, I don't want to market myself, I don't want to sell, but then all of a sudden they become invisible in the community?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for the church, unfortunately, what happens when we have the tendency to kind of pass it off as, if I'm marketing, or if I'm getting out there, as you say, sell yourself or market yourself, that somehow I'm less spiritual, and therefore I'm less godly, and therefore I'm not really doing church work. And so a lot of it is helping pastors to think differently. Like, there's this great message. The gospel in of itself is called the good news. So we're communicating something that should be very good and very helpful and very beneficial. And if it's the packaging that needs to change, then I need to change the packaging. If it's getting out there and rubbing shoulders and meeting people, then we need to do that. Or people are never going to hear the message and hear the good news. And I think the number one word, you could almost hashtag it, that comes from at least church people is compromise. They feel like if they're being relevant, somehow they're compromising the message. Somehow there's this, it's like they're kind of short-circuiting or cheating, or, if God's really in this, then God will do it. And I think it's almost like, I think that's the same thing in business. If this is really good, if this is really right, if this really is, what my life is about, my purpose, then it'll just happen. Yeah, I'm going to work hard. But there's always that element, you've got to get out and connect with the people that you're trying to meet and reach.
Yeah, and I think that's so important, because that does translate into just about anyone that's a listener here. It's easy to sit back and say, well, I have this great talent, or I have this great service, or I have this message from God, or whatever it might be, that it should just come to me. But, part of your mission, of why you have whatever your talents are, is because you're supposed to make certain things happen. And I think this is my finding, and often Dr. Al and I will talk about this with people, business people we work with, and you can tell me if you feel the same way, Pastor, that a lot of that often stems from insecurity, where people actually are, you know, using that objection, and it sounds great, but it really stems from, I'm afraid that people won't really welcome what I'm trying to share with them. Do you find that that's a barrier for people?
Certainly. I think, you know, rejection or fear of rejection or insecurity or, you know, even something like this, you know, being interviewed or being on a show, a conversation, you're being asked questions. Somehow I won't have the answer. Someone's going to ask me something. I'm going to be stumped and I don't want to be embarrassed. But yeah, I think a fear of rejection or insecurity is a huge preventer for someone to kind of put themselves out there. I was thinking of this too, for me, you know, when you're talking about mixing business principles or mixing secular ideas together with the church, I kind of look at it differently. I kind of look at that any good business idea or any good secular idea for me, I can find in Scripture. So for me, it's kind of like this began with God. This was God's idea. When I look at what we in the church would consider the Great Commission, which some of Jesus' last words to his followers while he was on the earth, it was not wait here and somehow he's going to bring everything to you. It was this get out there. It was go into all the world and share this message. It was a go, step out. And I think what happens with any organization, this is church business, when you become established, and like for us, we started our church from scratch, so to speak, you know, entrepreneurial, planted a church. We met in a middle school. We met in a movie theater when we first started, actually for 7 weeks. Then we were in a middle school for 4.5 years, set up and tear down. Now we're in a permanent facility. And I think this happens for any leader in any organization. The moment that you kind of have a permanency, there becomes this temptation to now become very much introverted and to protect or to a fear of losing what you have. So you're less apt to take risks. And I think that's the danger for anyone. So a lot of our coaching, especially for leaders or pastors that are already established, is you cannot stop taking risks. You cannot stop pushing out, and it can't be this desire to build your own kingdom, but it has to be fueled with this passion of until everyone knows, we can't stop. Until everyone hears, we can't stop. Until everyone's had an opportunity, we can't stop. And so it's that constant go, but definitely insecurity is a preventer of that, for sure.
And what are some of the, I know you shared one with us, but because this is an obstacle in any person that is an independent business owner, what other tools do you teach to help people get beyond that insecurity?
I think some of the tools are to really, really know your mission and your vision. That's the basis of it. I think probably you guys see this a lot as well. When someone's starting something new, they're looking for a working model, whether it's in chiropractic, whether it's in healthcare, whether it's in other businesses, whether it's in the church. There's something that you have within you that you're trying to accomplish. So when you stumble across, or maybe you finally found a model that's working that kind of emulates what you have in your heart or in your mind, you gravitate toward that, which is great because there's no reason to reinvent the wheel. But the other danger of that is that you just simply start replicating or emulating somebody else, and you're not staying true to your own vision and mission. And so it's very important for any leader to really know deep within themselves what is very unique to me. What is it that, and not that I'm the only one, or I'm the only church, or you know, you're the only doctor or whatever, but what if you were? How differently would you function if you were the only one? And so I really coach our guys, you've got to know your vision. You got to be very, very clear on that. You need to craft the language of that so that it's extremely specific to you. You need to know what your values are, what differentiates you from anyone else, and why your purpose is so important. When we moved into our permanent building, we met with a landlord and negotiated our lease and worked some things out. We were going to have to invest quite a bit up front to get the space to look like the way we wanted it to look like. And when we sat down with him, I just shared with him some pictures of people's lives that had been changed through Life Church. And I just said to him, I said, listen, Randolph, New Jersey, Morris County doesn't need another church. But we don't want to just be another church. And so I just communicated clearly what we were about and what our heart was, what our focus was. And it kind of cleared the playing field to realize, wow, this is an organization that we're going to add value to his building as well. So I think that's really important to really know very clearly who you are, what your purpose is, what your mission is.
Do you also find that there are some people that are trying to perfect that too much before they actually push themselves out? In other words, sometimes what I share with people is, in the beginning, you might be uncomfortable, and someone might ask you something you don't know, and you might not answer the way you think, and then I always say you get in the car and you review the conversation and go, oh, I wish I said this, or I should have said this then. I think that I'm interested in how you get people beyond that, you know, uncomfortable initial kind of process where you just got to go out and do it, and it's not going to be perfect, but each time it gets better. I'm thinking, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's kind of like, you know, when you give a sermon on a Sunday or whatever day it is, the first time you do it, I'm sure it's not as well as the way you do it today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we call it paralysis by analysis. I'm sure that's not original.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I probably, if I was to go back and listen to, you know, we've been doing this for 6 years now, and so you can imagine how many sermons or messages I've shared, and I'll listen to some past ones. I'm like, oh my gosh, I wouldn't even have come to this church, you know, back then. It's like, who would say something like that? On Sunday morning, we have two experiences, 10 and 11:30, and in between, I'm going back and thinking over, oh my, why did I say it that way? I should have said it differently. My wife Stephanie helps me with that. As well, which is a great benefit to having somebody there for both. But yeah, and I think, you know, as you're moving forward, you know, you find that model, and you've got to work out kind of your own not spin on it, take on it. What's really you? But yeah, you definitely got to get out there. I'll tell guys too that you're never going to be 100% certain about anything. I don't think any leader, any individual is ever more than 75% certain of any decision that they ever make. Now, you can be clear, and I think this is what I try to teach guys. There's a big difference between clarity and certainty. You can be very clear of the next step that you're to take. You can be very clear of what's in your heart or that vision, but uncertain of how it's all going to play out, uncertain of maybe some of the details. But that clarity is what you have to act on. Act on clarity, and certainty will grow. It you'll become more certain, but not until you start taking steps. And so, we've done that. I mean, we've wrestled with language and how we say things, I think that's just a natural part of any organization. And I think they even say, you know, just on the business side of rebranding, you know, years ago it was like every 7 years. It's a lot more frequent now. Maybe I would say every 3 to 5, there's almost like a rebranding, recommunicating, saying your vision differently. Maybe the vision of itself doesn't change, but how you communicate it might. And that's something that, you got to jump out there and start walking, start taking steps and discover who you really are.
And if, Dr. Allen, are you unmuted?
I did. I wanted to just ask a question here. That is, I wanted to, that I think fits in with what you were saying about knowing your mission and knowing what you're about, and that is the wrapper. And by wrapper, I mean, well, here you are. I mean, if I didn't know that you were Pastor Dan, you know, you're casually dressed. You're you know, you look like the guy next door that I would hang out with, you know, if just in the neighborhood. Is that also part of that, of bringing yourself into the community, giving the ability for people to identify with you and share things with you rather than try to, I think the old school was dress in a way that, you know, sort of like you developed some type of level of I'm up here and you're down there. Does the rapper become part of the message at this point in time?
Absolutely. I think it has to. I think if the wrapper or the box communicates something different than what's inside, then there's a sense of betrayal almost. And you know, I came across a statistic. I don't know where I saw it years ago, but it said that if 75% of men, that if they don't wear a suit and tie for their career or for their job, they don't even own one. And so we decided that if we're trying to connect with people, we need to be relatable. And so not just my appearance. I mean, I dress like this on Sunday morning. Actually, a lot. I mean, my shirt's tucked in today, but sometimes, you know, on Sunday morning I'll wear an untucked shirt. Maybe sometimes I wear a sport coat. Sometimes I wear a tie, but predominantly I'm wearing jeans. Sometimes I'm wearing jeans and sneakers and a shirt. I try to dress casual, professional, which is where the majority of people live. I want every person that walks through the door of our church, and I want every person that I come in contact with, to immediately be put at ease and to know that what we're doing is very real and very relational. We're not trying to put ourselves up over somebody or to create something that's just not real and not true. So yeah, it's definitely a part of who we are. And you'll feel that style in how we've redone this. It's just a commercial office building. You walk in, you wouldn't even know it, but you walk into the common areas, you would not know that there's anything different. You open up our suites and go into where our auditorium is, and it's very modern, it's just a beautiful area. The music, the style of music that we do would be the same style of what you would listen to on the radio. Obviously, the message is different, but the style is very much the same. We use a lot of technology. We use a lot of different lighting and video functions to help us communicate the message. So absolutely, that packaging or that wrapper is very much a part of who we. You almost could say like it's a cell phone wrapper with a little bit of a picture on it, a little sticker on it with a name, but everything you can see inside.
Yeah, and are you finding that because of that, the attitude you have about that you're bringing in younger people into the fold in the church? Where they may have been more alienated in the way it used to be, but because you're so approachable that now it opens up to people of all ages. Am I correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And what's interesting about that is because we'll see people coming in that are completely what we would call unchurched, which have, you know, just are not churchgoers. It's not in their family of origin. It's not something that they've been a part of. So we're reaching them as well as people that are churched, but it might be what we would call de-churched. They've gone to church. They used to go to church. They don't go to church anymore, or whatever it might be. And what's interesting is those that have been a part of another church that might be more traditional, and maybe contemporary, but just kind of different in the way that we approach church, begin to come. It's interesting. They're the ones that kind of tilt their head. It's like an old cow at a new gate. You know, it's like, can I go through this one? Is this okay? And it's interesting that they seem to be the ones that wrestle with it more than somebody that's completely unchurched, that's not experienced church at all.
Well, I'm sure some of that comes from most people are a little uncomfortable with change. You know, if they grew up in their families in their younger life going to, you know, church or synagogue, and it was kind of a certain way, and all of a sudden it's like, well, this is cool, but it's a little new, and I have to wrap my mind around change. But do you also think that some of this is you know, when we talk to business people, you know, Dr. Allen and I will frequently talk about understanding your market. So, you know, the way that you run your church in another part of the country, do they have to address possibly, you know, who their market is there? Do you find that there needs to be that tweaking, or do you find that if they go into it with this process and your system, that the market will acclimate to them?
Yes, you definitely need to know the demographic that you're in and the people that you're reaching, and you need to find out. You know, I think you had mentioned, you had said this word a couple days ago when we were talking, the word tribes or tribe. You know, you're finding, which I love that book by Seth Godin, and that's kind of like what we're discovering is, you know, what are some of the tribes that are in our community right now that we need to be very aware of, and we need to know what their needs are and we need to figure out how we can connect with them. And so with the different churches around the country, it's more of that. It's more of you just need to know the community that you're in and figure out ways to connect with them. Now, you might do the experience, the church service, or what people would come to on a weekend. There might not be a whole lot difference in what that feels like, but you do need to be very aware of your crowd. But also, when you step outside the four walls of wherever the facility is that you're at, and you get out into the community and you're rubbing shoulders with people and you're having conversations, you certainly, even I would say even more so there, need to be aware of it. We visit a lot of churches, whether it's just through our coaching or through friendships or through conferences, and they're all over the country. And I'm always and within our organization or our network that's going for what we're for, not what we're against, and to be what we would term. And it's interesting when I'm even in some of these different environments of different churches, how different. I'm like, well, that wouldn't work here in North Jersey. I couldn't say that there. You know, there's just so there's still that sort of a cultural flow that you've got to be very aware of when you're communicating.
What would you say the breakdown of when we do marketing with professionals? We always talk about the breakdown of where their patients should come from or their clients should come from. In building your church, where have most of the members come from? Is it internal referral? Is it community events? How do you break down how you get your the members of your church?
On the weekend, we have what we call a connection card, and we're able to kind of capture people's information. They fill it out, and there's a little spot on there, how'd you hear from us? And predominantly, it is definitely online or word of mouth invitation. That someone's invited them. We do see, because we're not right on the main road, we're about three buildings in off of Route 10, which is a main road running through Randolph. We don't have a sign out there, so on Sunday morning, we are able to put some signs out that we put out and take down. So people will see us then driving by. But predominantly, it is word of mouth and using online. We use Google AdWords, and as a 501c3 church nonprofit, we were able to get in on their grant. So, which is awesome because we don't pay a dime. We have $10,000 a month available for us in ads through Google AdWords. I'm still not sure we're using all of that, but it's there. I've got to figure it out, right?
That's really great. So, in other words, so you sit down and you go, well, what keywords should we put in the ad?
Yeah.
What keywords are we going after? So literally, you're marketing. That's fantastic.
Absolutely.
That's something in the marketing world you wouldn't even think that, you know, Pastor Dan's sitting down, he's going through his keyword planner, and he's that's terrific, amazing. Yeah. Very good.
And as we start to tie up, that's actually how I want to kind of bring it around to you, Pastor Dan. I think that those outside of the groups that you work with, I think that people watching this might be a little surprised. So I want you to, you just shared using Google AdWords. I think if you shocked Dr. Allen, that's pretty good. That's hard to do. Tell us a little bit more about some of the ways than the things that you do, and you and your lovely wife, Steph, what you do as, I'm going to call it, a business model to draw people into your church.
Well, I think it begins with exactly where we met. I guess close to, a year ago, but at the Community Wellness Day here in Randolph.
Yeah.
It's just that. It's finding out what's going on in the community and how can we be a part of that. How can we be a part of it? How can we serve our community? How can we add value? We're already working now to be a part of the next Community Wellness Day here in Randolph. That's something that we hope, again, we'll be able to get out there and rub shoulders with people and help them to see that we're just like them, and hopefully we can add value to their life. We're partnering with the Head Start of Morris County, particularly with the Dover location. They have over 200 less fortunate families that need to be adopted going into Christmas and in the holidays here, that need winter clothing and towels and just housewares. So we're partnering with them. We're putting out, we're beginning what we're calling a giving tree, and we're getting that in the community as well, hopefully helping people to know the need and how they can impact some families that are maybe their neighbors or right next door. So that's something. I've actually joined the Rotary here in Randolph just simply so that I could get to know the different business leaders in our community and help raise awareness to the needs in our community. So there's actually a it's called Light the Path 5K run that's going to be on Saturday, November 15th, right here in Randolph, raising funds for Down syndrome research as well as through the Rotary for scholarships in Randolph High School. So we're partnering in that. We're financially a sponsor of that, as well as making sure we've got volunteers there. The main thing for us is that we're trying to help our people get outside the four walls. It's not just the church organizationally in name. Church is not a building. It's not a name. The church, literally in the original language in the Greek, ekklesia or ecclesia, means a movement. It means a gathering of like-minded people. And so we want to be a movement. We want to impact our community by coming together and being one so that we can reach one. So that is primarily what we're doing, just trying to get out in the community and connect and add value.
And I think that's a perfect place to... Oh, Dr. Allen, did you have another question before I tie it up?
I did, but I'm afraid here. I'm so interested in what Dr. Dan does. And
Pastor Dan.
Does. I keep calling him Dr. Dan.
I'm going to add those. I'm going to add that to my title now. Dr. Pastor.
Right on the lower third.
Yeah.
I'm so intrigued by what you do, and I respect greatly that you're doing it. I mean, I have a number of questions I want to ask, but I think Dr. Randy, we should have Pastor Dan back on the show. I want to know his dropout rate. I want to know how he follows up. I want to know if he uses autoresponders. I mean, there's so much stuff here that I want to talk about, but it's going to take another half hour. So I think we're going to let it go and get him back on the show.
Well, how about this, Pastor Dan? Can we officially invite you to come back for a part two?
Absolutely. I'd love to be back. This is fun.
All right. Well, I am going to tie us up while Dr. Allen brings up our sponsors. And I really want to thank Pastor Dan for being here. I have to say, for me, this has been one of our most interesting interviews. And, you know, this is just to show you that we look at so many different things when we think about who we want to bring on as guests, you know, who you can listen to and take something away with. And I think that Pastor Dan's a perfect example that we're always thinking outside the box. And for me, I think everyone has something to offer. And everyone has something to say that can inspire you and make you think about a way that you can be better and do better and serve more people, whatever your product, service, or messages that you need to get to people. So I really want to thank Pastor Dan for being with us. We're going to definitely get him back on our calendar in the coming weeks. And I just want to let everyone know, you heard the pastor talk about Community Wellness Day. We are gearing up for our enrollment. So if you're interested in finding out about how to host Community Wellness Day, we've done the work for you. Please don't reinvent the wheel. I can promise you, you'll be more successful in a program with a proven track record that you just have to follow directions. So send us a message. If you're watching this in a replay, there'll be a link for you to click on, and you can find out how to spend about 15, 20 minutes with me, and we'll tell you why this is something that will absolutely help you reach some of your goals. Well, I'm going to turn it back over to Dr. Allen to close us out for this week's show.
Well, you've been listening to Building Your Wellness Brand Within Your Community. I'm Dr. Allen Weinstein with my co-host, Dr. Randy Ross. Today's episode was brought to you by Epic Consulting. Whoa, it's going crazy on its own. Sorry about that. Epic Consulting, making sure... this is crazy. My thing is sort of flickering here. Your electronic presence is all it needs to be. Community Wellness Day, every great opportunity begins with the first step. Take that step with Community Wellness Day. The System, the official marketing program of healthcare professionals everywhere, and of course the VIP app, the only application that allows you to bring these live hangouts to the desktop, iPhone, iPad, and the Android devices. On behalf of myself, Dr. Allen Weinstein, Dr. Randy Ross, and a great visit from Pastor Dan Stauffer, we'll look forward to seeing you next week.
Bye, everyone.